Good morning. We're in the middle of discussing the sugya of Sechiras Metatalin. Last week we discussed the issue of what happens if the item breaks during the term of the rental. So as we pointed out, there are a number of chalukim. If the item is still usable, it's the donkey is sick, but you still could ride it. It just involves additional tirchur. It's going a bit slower. The car drives, just the air conditioner doesn't work. So in that case, we say it is the mazel of the soicher, and the sefiras remains intact. He cannot back out, and he has to pay the full price for the term of the rental. In contrast, if the animal dies, or in the case if the animal is now there's a risk it may just drop dead at any moment, and the rental is for a delicate load or for a person to ride on. So to ride on a donkey that may collapse at any moment is dangerous. So in that case, the donkey is considered not usable at all. When it's not usable at all, there we say it is apseda demaskir. The schirus is over. The seicher does not have to pay since he is not getting the fair use of the item. There was a third case, which was a bit of a problem, and that is if the animal was taken, it was taken by the government, it was taken, drove into an ambush, and it was taken away for a few days. So in this case, Gemara says, it depends. If the soicher rode into an ambush, we say it's his mazel, it's his fault, if you will, but he was goyrimit, and in that case, although it's gone, he does not have the use of it, the schirus still stands. Masha'enkein, if the government was searching the houses, it has nothing to do with where the soicher happened to have been riding. It's something which it would have happened even if it was in the masker's possession. So there we say it's the mazel of the masker and the schirus will be batel. Now there are the achrayinim, the rishayinim struggle with what is the difference between if the item is taken away for a few days and if the item dies. Either way, the renter has absolutely no use for the item. So how come when it dies, he no longer has to pay? Mashenkin, when he rides into an ambush, he's responsible even though he does not have the use of the item. So there are a number of mahalchim in the Mefarshim. Some are mechalik between when the item, the Tosfos says that the assumption is if the defect is in the goof of the item, it dies, it's taken away, the assumption is it's the mazel of the masker that caused it. And therefore, since there's no use, you don't pay. The one exception is that if the soicher rides into an ambush, we see clearly it was his actions, although it wasn't the negligence, he didn't know where it was, but there we can be totally, because it was his actions, then he still cannot back out of the schirus. Mashenkin, in a typical case, if the item is gone, it's no longer usable, we are totally in the mazel of the masker. Others, as there's an Ebn Ozel that has a lamdashib shot, he says that when the item dies, the use is no longer in existence. So if you pay to use something, and now it's dead, it has no hishtamshus, it has no peiros, you don't have to pay for a use that is not doyla. Ma'ashenkin, when it doesn't die, it simply gets taken, and especially if it gets taken temporarily. So over there, the peiros are there, it's still usable. Now there's a problem. The problem is there's a government agent that's sitting there stopping you from being nene from it. So in that case, the masker can say, listen, you paid for the use is still there. You have a problem. The government took it away from you. That's your problem. What do you want from me? It's still ba'olam. It still has payros. And therefore, you cannot back out since you're the one that rode into the ambush. Mashenke, and if it's dead, if it's not usable, the payros do not exist, there we say you don't have to pay for payros that don't exist. And there, the soicher would be able to back out.
So that's also the thing is
about
it's just
temporary
until it gets repaired.
Okay, but as long as the soicher has no responsibility to fix the owner's engine, that's not his responsibility. Right now, it's as good as dead. It's not usable. So if the air conditioner blows, the car is still rideable. That's like the animal that got sick. There, the schirus would remain, and you'd have to pay in full. Masha'enkein, if the engine blows, now it's not usable. So if the owner repairs it, good. But in the absence of a repair, right now it's not usable, and the seicher could back out.
So why is that different than if it was taken away by the government? It's a temporary. It's dead. temporarily.
During this time period, there are no peiros. The point of the Eved Ozel is, when it's taken by the government, it exists, the peiros exist. There is a bully there preventing you from accessing the peiros that you've bought. That's your problem. My Shaken, if it's dead or broken, today there are no peiros. Now, there is one other pshat, again, it's varying again in certain other cases, but others are matre and say that the kasha doesn't really start. They say the Gemara that says that if it gets taken temporarily, you can't back out of the spheres, that doesn't mean you have to pay for the period that you can't use it. If you can't use it, it's like it's similar to being dead. You certainly do not have to pay rent for the days that you have no access to it. All the Gemara means is that you cannot back out of the spheres and say, I wanted it today. If I don't have it today, the whole deal's off. Since it's a temporary thing, it's your mazel, we say wait until it's returned. But as far as paying for it, certainly just like when it dies, you don't pay for use that you don't have. In this case as well, you do not pay for a heshtamshas in a period of time where you do not have access to use it. Now, if you specifically made a tanai, I need to rent the car because I have to get to the chasana tonight, then the fact that you'll get it next week does not help you. But in a typical case where it's just tircha, it's just a delay, it wasn't part of the original schiros, there, what the point of the Gemara is, that if it was an ambush, if it was the mazel of the seicher, he will have to wait and only use it once it gets returned. So according to this pshat, in a case, it depends what happens. If you rode into an ambush where it's your mazel, if you will, that caused it, then you get the extra 3 days, but you can't back out of the schiros. When it gets returned, you'll finish the week then. Ma'aseh enkein, if it's the mazel of the masker, in other words, they come to your house, the car gets towed because the masker had a warrant out for his arrest. So in that case, even though you may get it back, you have the right to say, I rented it for this week, not for next week. If you don't have it for me today, the deal's off, and I have the right to because they're from the entire spheres.
Do you have to speak out every time you rent something what you're using it for to protect yourself? If I need to go to a wedding, write the telegram once more. It's pretty obvious that I rented it for a reason, to get somewhere.
When you're renting a car, you certainly need to get somewhere. The question is whether it is time sensitive or whether that time frame is part of the tanai. And according to these Rishonim, what the Gemara was saying is if you stam rented for a week, you need to transport something, so you'll do it a few days later. It's a bit of a terukha. You're impatient, you want to do it now. That's not part of the spheres. Now, if you say specifically what I want needed for, then it's a tanai. Then just like if it's dead, it's not usable, then it's a chazara. Not getting it for the deadline that you needed by is also not usable. Now, what happens if you don't speak it out, but you can prove it? So then you'll run into issues of umdinos, tanai, and that will be a whole discussion of to what extent, when you do a deal with someone, there's a story behind it that you don't disclose, to what extent does that become part of the deal? To what extent does that become a tanai? When do you say no? That's devar mishebelev. If you have a kapeda, if there's a specific deadline, you have to speak it out. And that will depend. It's hard to give klolim on that kind of machlokas. Okay, but what will happen if the car breaks down? You go on the date the next day. Who says that she told him either come Wednesday or it's off? So that's already, that's not an umduna. That may be true in very limited cases, but this is exactly the point, that if it's just tircha, you don't want to wait till tomorrow, but you could. So in that case, we'll have to look at whose mazel was geirim. So there, the Mara makes a chiluk between on the kind of load that you have. If you have a donkey that every once in a while, I don't know, will have a seizure and just collapse. So if your load is glass or something delicate, so an animal that every once in a while will collapse is a problem. And in that case, that's the equivalent of being dead and you can be chayzer. Mashenkein, if you're transporting, you know, building materials, rocks, wood, and it falling is not a problem. Nobody wants a donkey that may collapse at any given moment, but since it still is usable, you'll manage, you'll make it there, a little extra tircha, you can't be chayzer. Now, if a car that drives 20 miles an hour is something which is safe for a highway, or you can go another way and get there without going on the highway, then ein echanami. It's usable, it's just tircha, and you couldn't be chazer. Mashenget, if it's simply not safe, you can't drive 20 miles an hour on a highway is not safe, then you'd be able to be chazer. Maybe he used it, means if it was low, if it's safe for local, it's not safe for. Okay, so the Gemara that says it depends what you use it for. If you say you're going out and you don't say where, if you don't specify the load, if we see this is what you need it for, you don't have that hashtamshus. But I hear. Enachanami. So this. Oh, so what other important chiluk that the Nesivus makes is actually a machlokes Nesivus in Sma. What happens if you ride into the ambush? You have your donkey, you ride into an ambush, but it gets taken away permanently. It gets stolen. The Sma says, since you're the one that rode into the ambush, even though it's stolen, it's your mazel. Had you not made the right turn over here, it wouldn't have been stolen. It was your mazel, the fact that you ran into it, that it was your, it's your mazel. So even though it will never be returned, the Sma says, you still cannot be chayzer, you would still have to pay for the schiris. The Nesivus argues. The Nesivus says this whole discussion about when it gets taken away, whether you rode into the ambush or whether they came to you, is only if it's a temporary thing. It'll be returned. So if it's gone temporarily, so we have to figure out whose mazel is it. Is it the soicher's mazel or is it the masker's mazel? And depending on whose mazel it is, the soicher either will or will not be able to back out. However, Zokhne Nesivus, if it gets stolen permanently, he says that's the equivalent of it dying. Since what happened, it's happened to the guf hadavar, just like when it dies, the item is dead. It's something that's an oinus to the guf hadavar. If it's the oinus to the guf hadavar, we always assume it's the masker's mazel. I don't care whether you rode into the ambush or the ambush came to you. The animal's dead. What happened here is something to the that directly impacts the ownership and the status of the item. There, we always are toled in the masker. It's only when it's temporary, it will be returned. The masker says, my item is fine. The issue is only the hishtamshus, the peros. When the issue is in the peros, there already we can start clearing whether you rode into it or it came to you. But when it's a maisa in the guf hadavar, it's dead or it's stolen permanently, if he says that is the equivalent of being dead, that's in the guf hadavar, then Nesivus says that we are always toila in the mazel of the masker. Oh, right now it's gone. The difference is in the Angaria, in that case, is the king would take it, and as we spoke out, the fellow would go until he met another donkey, and then he'd switch donkeys, you'd get it back. So there in the Nesivus' point is, that's something which is only chesaron in the Hishtamshus. The owner, if you look at his net worth, he still has the same assets. The donkey belongs to him. Temporarily, he won't be able to use it. So since it's only something in the payrois, we can discuss whose mazel we're talking about. Mashenging, when it's dead, or if it's stolen, you write it off, it's gone. Now, if it comes back, good. So you had mazel, you recovered it. But right now, it's gone. There's no expectation of getting it back. And therefore, it's something in the guf hadavar, and the Siva says, we are always telling you that in the mazel of the masker. You can have all the signals in the world. When a donkey gets stolen, if it's anosim, stam, gazel, or gneva, people are miyayish, the assumption is it won't come back. The Nesivus' point is when it's stolen, it's something which is permanent. You may be lucky, you may be returned, but right now, basher rusham, it's nevad. If by angaria, the guf gets taken away. But since the guf, it's only taken temporarily, the guf itself will be returned, there we say the issue here is in the hishtamshus. Because the guf is not at risk, the guf will be returned, it's just a question of time. Time is peiros, time is hishtamshus. There we can discuss whose mazel it was. Right.
So the guy, is it his expense or is it the owner's expense? It's also temporary.
Okay, expense, as far as fixing it, the soicher is never responsible to fix it as long as it was an oinus or meis machmas malach. Our discussion is whether the soicher can be chayzer and say the deal is off. And that depends on whose mazel it is, and that depends on these parameters. So what we have right now is, let's go back to our rental car case. You rent a car, you're driving across the country, and you break down in the middle of the road. So if the car still drives, it's just the air conditioner, you're stuck. Keep on driving, you're going to pay in full. My shenken, if a car, it just dies, the engine blows. So the halacha is, it's mace, it's no longer usable, then the deal is off. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if you rent a car and you get stranded in the middle of the highway, you call the owner and say, okay, this car died, bring me another car. Can he just say, okay, the car died, I'll give you a refund. The deal is off. Can he just leave you stranded? What are the master's responsibilities? So the Gemara differentiates between two cases. In a case where you said, I'm renting chamor zeh, I'm renting this donkey. So the halacha is, if this donkey dies, you call the owner and say, replace it with another one, and say, what do you want? Our deal was on this item. If this item is gone, is nenas, it disappeared, it's dead, so I don't have to replace it. Even if he has other donkeys, he can say, you rented this, you didn't rent anything else, I have no responsibilities to you, let's sit down, pay me for the time that you used it, and go on your way, do whatever you can to do whatever you need to do. But you can't force the owner to replace it because the deal was on chamor zeh, it was on a specific item. Ma'ashenkein, if you say chamor stam, you walk into a rental car agency and you say, I'd like to rent a mid-sized car for a week. So, okay, fill out the contract, he hands you the keys to a particular car. But there, the rental was stam. You're paying to rent a mid-sized car. So although he gave you a specific Camry, if that car drops dead along the way, the deal's not over. You go back to the owner and say, listen, we have a deal. I pay you X amount for a mid-sized car for a week. The first car died. Replace it, give me another one in order for me to get to my destination. So when the rental is specific, you say, chamor zeh, I'm renting this one. The owner can say, if this one dies, or he has no responsibility to replace it with another. Ma'ashenkein, when it's chamor stam, they already, he has to give you a chamor, he has to give you a car, and if this one dies, he will have to replace it and give you another car to get to your destination. Now, in general, I think when you rent a car, in general, it's chamor, it's car stam. It's not on a specific car. They may give you one. It may even be in the contract because you have to look at it and see if there's any damage. But I think in general, the assumption is it's chamor stam. And if it dies in the middle, they would have an obligation to go ahead and to replace it and to give you another one until the end of the schirus.
Is there any difference if you have a brand? I mean, there could be some brands which are very, like, I'm with your head, just looking at it.
A what?
I'm maybe pronouncing Lamborghini. I don't know. That's the only one we have. Sorry. I'm from Lamborghini, but maybe I can say Chevy. Oh, yeah, plenty of
It is probably true that if you go over to a private person and rent his car, and you understand he only has one car, it's very mistavra that is like chamor zeh, because you know he has one, you're renting this particular one. Ma'ashenkein, if you go to Enterprise and you rent a car from them, you understand they have a whole fleet of them. They may give you one specific one, but the whole rental is not on this. And I'll tell you, in Ma'aseh Shehayu, a few weeks ago, we actually rented a minivan. Our car was in an accident. And we rented the minivan, so they happened to have given us a late model minivan with the leather seats and all of the completely upgraded. The kids were having a very good time with the minivan. 4 days into the rental, we get a phone call from Enterprise that they just sold our car, sold the rental, or they were selling it. So they're going to please drop it off, and we're going to replace it with another one. So l'chayra, they held that the rental was not on minivan zeh, they held it was minivan stam. And since it was stam, they have the right to switch it. Although even that's not so posh, even by stam, once they give it to you, it could be they don't have the right to be chayzer unless there's an oinus. And but they came, they picked it up, and they gave another one. This one actually wasn't quite as upgraded. The kids were a bit disappointed. But clearly this is a case of minivan stam. It wasn't, the whole contract wasn't for this one. It was to rent this class of minivan. And therefore, had it broken down in the middle of the road, they would have had a chiv to go ahead and replace it. They couldn't just say, "I'm sorry, you died. You're on your own." Ma'ashenkein, if you rented it from a neighbor, he has one car. You're renting it. It's chamor zeh. There, if it dies halfway to New York, so the deal's over. There's nothing else for him to replace.
If you said chamor zeh,
they sold it. No, chamor zeh. They can't. Even chamor stam. The truth is, although it's chamor stam, and if it dies, they have to replace it. Once they give it to you, they probably don't have the right to take it back in the middle of the schirus. So I guess enterprise not such a bikiyim in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat. What?
I'm sure. When you make a reservation or when you sign the contract. If you make a reservation, you're right. You say a mid-sized car, they can give you anything at the beginning. But once they give you a particular car, you are signing a contract on that car.
Okay.
So the question is that considered a Tanai?
No, your point is well taken. In the normal case of Stam is your contract is done Stam, and then they hand you the keys. It's true when you rent a car, they generally show it to you first, and then you walk around it and they see the mileage and all sorts of things like that. The question is whether that changes the nature of the contract, that you're renting this, or you're basically the same thing as a reservation, they're just letting you know this is the one that we're going to give you. So yesh lo doin, what's really happening. When you rent an apartment, for example, that's clear you're renting zeh. The landlord can't go ahead and say, you know what, you know, tomorrow move out. We want to renovate this apartment. We're moving you down the block. That's clearly a case of zeh. In a case of the car rental, where when you come down, they point one out, yesh lo doin. Well, in as far as halacha is concerned, if the rattle happened afterwards, they have every right to say mazlech agarim as long as it's rideable. Now, if it's a sakana, if there's a tzad, it might drop dead any minute. That is the equivalent of when you hired it to transport glass, where people do not want to use a donkey that may just die. The same thing would apply to a car that you're driving it. But if it's just a question of comfort, it's a rattle, you don't like the rattle, it's not a question of safety, they would have every right to say, this is the schiris, and you can't back out of no.
If there's a loop, you know, like the person's like, some of these cars, they say, oh, the air conditioner doesn't work, okay, we'll return it. So now they have tests that they're doing this.
Okay, if there's a minhag mevatel halacha, each case will be different, but as far as the raw halacha, if it's still usable, you can't be chayzer. Now, although the halacha is by chamor zeh, by kar zeh, then if it dies in the middle, you get stuck in the middle of the highway, they can just tell you, okay, the rental's over, pay us for the time you used it, and just go on your way. However, there is one right that you have, and that is the Gemara says that if you rent chamor zeh, and then it dies, so what halacha is, you have a nevela, you have a carcass in front of you. The halacha is, you have, since you said the owner said chamor zeh, you have a shibud on this donkey. You have the right to sell the dead donkey and either buy another live donkey in its place, or if that's not possible, which presumably it usually isn't, a live donkey is a lot more expensive than a dead donkey. The halacha is, you can use the proceeds and rent another chamor to get to your destination. So by chamor stam, where the owner has a shibud, he has to replace it. So he's got to replace it with another. He has to replace it with another one. Chamor zeh, the owner has no obligation to replace it. But if the donkey itself, the dead donkey, has value, and at least that value is meshubed, and the soicher can sell it, he can use the proceeds to rent another donkey to get to his destination. Now, based on this, this would come out a very interesting halacha. You rent a car zeh, you're driving to New York, you get stuck along the Garden State Parkway, the car breaks down. So if it's chamor zeh, can you force the owner to give you another car? No, it's car zeh. However, what you can do is hang a first sign sale, put it on the window, sell the car, and use the proceeds to rent a car to get to New York.
Oh,
very good. It's like this. There's a little problem with this. The Gemara says by chamor that dies, chamor is there. You sell it, you use the proceeds to rent another chamor. What happens if you rent a house and the house collapses? So by bayis zeh, so the owner has, the landlord does not have it, has no obligation to give you another house. So there the Gemara says, if the house collapses, the deal is off, you move out, you pay rent for until you are there. Fractoisis and all the Rishonim, we have a stira. By a chamor zeh that dies, you sell the chamor and you rent another one. When we say buy a zeh and the house collapses, you don't sell the house and rent another house. We say the deal is off, you pay for the time that you were there, and you have to find yourself another house. So Rishayim give different terutzim. Tayyusvis says, what you were driving at. He says it's a basic difference. When a house collapses, what do you do? You rebuild it. You don't sell it. So even though you said Ba'yizeh, you're being Meshabed this house, the owner had never dreamt that simply because the house collapses, you're going to sell or auction off his real estate to find another rental. That's not what you do with real estate. You rebuild it. So in that case, even though you said Ba'yizeh, it fell, you have no Sheba, you have no right to go ahead and sell it. Ma'ashe'enkein a chamor. What happens when a chamor dies? You sell it. Yeah, this person's a farmer. It's not to do with a dead chamor. So when it's oymid to be sold, and you said chamor zeh, you're meshabed the chamor, whether it's alive, dead. So if it's dead, you can sell it, and the proceeds are meshubed to the soicher. Ma'ashe'enkein a bayis, which is not oymid to be sold, there, if it collapses, the deal is off, the tenant has no right to sell it. Wait a second. This is the sheet. Well, you're not selling the house either. You're selling the real estate. But the point is, the real estate, you're going to go ahead and you're going to rebuild. Okay, good. Wait a second. The Ron says another pshat, and I think this is the teretz that you're alluding to. He says there's a very basic difference. When a chamor dies, so it's still a chamor. Before it was a live chamor, now it's a dead chamor. Since you rented chamor zeh, you rented this chamor, so in whatever status it is, you have a lien on it. So if it dies, you now have a lien on a dead chamar. And therefore you have the right to sell it and use the proceeds to get to your destination. A house that collapses is no longer a house. Now it's a piece of real estate. It's a pile of rubble. Since the house is no longer here, it's not called a bias that it's not, this pile of rubble, it used to be a house, but it's no longer a house. It's just a pile of dirt today. A pile of dirt is no longer a house, and therefore when you're meshabed ba'yizeh, if it no longer has a shein ba'yis, therefore you have no right to it. So when the chamor dies, since it still is a chamor, you still have a claim against it, and if need be, you can sell it to get to your destination. When a house collapses, it's no longer a house, and therefore any lien or any rights that you had to it go dissipate since the house is no longer here. This is the chiluk of the Ran. A third pshat, Meiri. Miri says it depends on the degree of loss. If you have a dead nevela and it gets sold, okay, the owner lost the nevela. Not a big deal. When he says chamor zeh, included in the deal is that if it dies, you'll have the right to sell it. That's a loss that the owner is willing to accept. By a bias, there's no way in the world a landlord is agreeing and accepting that if the house collapses, you'll be able to auction off the real estate and he'll be left with nothing. It's a huge hefzid. It's a hefzid meruba. There, it's not included in the original bargain. So we have three basic chalukim to be miyashiv why a chamor you could sell, a house you can't. What's with a car? You rented chamor car zeh, the engine blew, you're stuck on the side of the road. So if we go with the shita, let's go through the three shitas. If you hold like the chiluk of the Meiri, that it depends how big of a loss it is. So a house is a huge loss. A donkey is a minimal loss. What's a car? Is that a hefzid meruba or not? I don't know. It's probably somewhere in between. Yesh ladoin, what it's certainly not as big of a hefzid as a house. I don't know how much donkeys went for back then, but I would imagine a car is more expensive than a donkey was. It's somewhere in between, and yesh ladoin what the halacha, what halacha would be. If you go like Tosis says, what's the chiluk? That a donkey is oymit to be, the nevela is oymit to be sold. The seicher has a right to sell it. A house which you're not going to sell, you're going to rebuild. There's no right to sell it. Now a car that breaks down, do people sell it? The car breaks, they just sell it? Usually not. They fix it. So according to Tosfos, a car that breaks down would have the din of a bias. Since it is oymit to be fixed, it is not oymit to be sold. According to Tosfos, you would have no right to sell it, and it would have the din of the bias, just the schirus would be over. Ma'ashen, you call it the Ran. The Ran's chiluk was that a donkey that dies is still a donkey. It's just called a dead donkey, and that you can sell. Your lien exists. Ma'ashen, a house that collapses is no longer a house. Your lien dissipates. If, according to the Ran, a car that dies clearly still has a shame car. It just needs a new engine. So according to the Ran, you would have the right to sell it since it is doimetu al-chamar, and it's still there, it's still ba'olam, you have the right to sell it. Now, most poskim seem to go with Tosfos. The chiluk is whether it's oimit to be sold or not oimit to be sold. And therefore, in the case of a car, since cars are generally repaired, they are not sold off simply because there is some damage. Therefore, the seicher would not be able to auction off the car simply because it got stuck on the way. Now, yesh ladoin, if it's an older car and the transmission and an engine blows, where it's not worth fixing, where people very often will sell it, that is the normal thing to do with a car in this condition, then l'chayr, even Taisi would agree. In that case, if you rented a car zeh, and it died or broken away, where people will typically not fix it, they would auction it off, they would sell it, in that case, l'chayr, the renter would be able to sell it along the way in order to get to his destination. Now, I don't know how practical it is. It's difficult to sell a car when it's parked on the side or pulled over on the side of the Garden State Parkway. But at least in theory, if you find someone who's willing to pay the fair price, you would have that right to sell it in order to get to your destination. Well, the tax deduction is not going to get you to your destination.
In such a case, you certainly have to give over the amount you have to give the license.
Sure. It just means that if you sell, you can use the proceeds to get to your destination. Doesn't, if there's extra money, certainly it belongs to the owner, that would go back to him.
What does the garage do? There's a big difference between a house garage and a hole in the roof or something.
Okay, correct. We'll have to deal with that when we get to Skiris Batim. It could be a hole in the roof is not enough to be back out at all. We'll have to deal with that in Skiris Batim. It's not, the halakhas are not the same, and to get out of a lease is more difficult in some ways than getting out of Skiris Metalin. You know, Abedafko avoided that. We'll deal with that in a few weeks when we talk about leases.
Just to clarify, this whole question of whether you could sell an available or the car and use the money to obtain the rental, it's not that relevant, I think, from a monetary reality perspective.
Correct.
You have to pay the older,
correct. It's only relevant in one of two cases. Either you're stuck along the way and you don't have money with you, so you now can sell the car and use the proceeds, or alternatively, if the price went up, or it's more expensive to rent it from where you are to get to your destination from where you are than from the original location. But in a chanabi, there are many cases, in a typical case, there will not be any, it'll be a wash and there won't be any difference in the bottom line finance. Okay, let me just, I don't want to get too bogged down on this. Like I mentioned, Sirius Metalflin is a lot more technical than some of the other issues that we've discussed. But Baruch Hashem, we're mostly through the technicalities. We have one more sugya we'll have to go through. And then we'll get back to some lighter inyanim. One other important machlokes to deal with on this issue, and that is, we've discussed many times that in Choshen Mishpat, if you want to buy something, sell something, create an obligation, it's not enough just to agree that you're going to sell it. You're going to do something. You generally need a ma'aseh kinyan. You have to do something which will create a chiyuv. Now, the Rishonim are very bothered by, in this Gemara, when you rent someone a chamor stam, the halacha is the chamor dies along the way, you've got to replace it with another chamor. Where does this obligation come from? What kinyan does he have in your other chamor? Bishloim, if you rent chamor zeh, and you want to sell the nevela, chamor zeh, when the person takes the chamor, he does mashicha, he rides it, he drives it, you have a chazaka on this chamor. But how does the fact that you simply have a verbal agreement, I'm going to rent this to you, and the soicher took this one chamor, how does that create a chiyuv on the owner's other chamorim, on his other cars? Where does this chiyuv come from? So this is a tremendous machlokes rishayim. Some rishayim say, a chiddush, that when you do mashiach, when you say chamor stam, and the person takes possession of this chamor, the moment he takes this chamar, he does mashiach on this chamar, he's chayiv to pay for the rental. He makes a kinyan on this chamar, he now owes you for this rental. Since he owes you for the rental, the halacha is, bahi hana, since the owner now has an account receivable, now the soicher is locked in, he must pay for it. Bahi hana, it's as if he got payment. Bahi hana, he's nischayiv to provide the soicher with another chamar. So although there's no separate kinyan, the meshicha on this chamor is enough to create a chiyuv on the owner to provide a chamor stam. That is one shita. Other Rishonim argue. And they say this whole gemara is only negeya if you make a special kinyan. The case the Gemara of Chamor Stam, where if it dies, you have to replace it with another, it means you said Chamor Stam, they sat there, they made a Kenyan Sudr, okay, I'm going to give you a Chamor Stam. And there, you have to replace it. But the absence of a special Kenyan, the halacha is, you would not have to replace it. Now, according to this, it comes out this halacha is very limited. Since people today generally don't walk around with a Sudr making special Kenyanim on Chamor Stam, so this halacha would not apply, and you would not be able to force the owner to replace it. You do, on the other hand, have a contract. The contract itself very often will be a shtar, will be a kinyan. The contracts typically are not drafted in a way that technically meet the requirements of a kinyan, but al tzitzumta, there probably would be enough. A third shita, and this is the shita of many rishayim, and the achrayim say you can say kimli, is enachrami. Enachrami. The person rents chamor stam, and it dies in the middle. You rent a car, it dies in the middle. You call the owner and say, I want you to replace it. The owner can say no. Although chamor stam, I have a shibut to give you another one. We never made a kinyan. If we never made a kinyan, I am not honoring our agreement. I am not giving you another chamor. Dr. Ramban, enachanami, he can do that. But then in that case, if the soicher can say, okay, you want to back out of your agreement, fine, but I'm backing out of my part of the agreement. And I only agree to pay you this rent if you're going to get me to this destination. If you're backing out in middle, I don't have to pay you the rent even for the use that I already had. So you can't force him, because in the absence of a kinyan, you can't force him to provide you with another car. But because the arrangement or the agreement is stam, where he committed to give it and he doesn't do it, you do not have a chiv to pay for the rent. So if you now have other expenses, you have to pay more to get to your destination, you'll be able to deduct that, you'll be able to hold back the rent for the time that you already drove the car in order to cover your expenses. It's not two wrongs. It's not two wrongs. What we have is an agreement without a kinyan. An agreement without a kinyan is not binding. So the same way the masker can say, I never bound myself to give you another donkey because there was no kinyan, the soicher can say, it's true, but I agree to pay you for this package. It's true, we didn't do the right kinyan, I didn't have a good lawyer, and I can't bind you to it, but you can't say I should pay you the full price if you're not providing the service that you were supposed to do in exchange. So to pay masha, and then if you have no loss, you'll end up paying. But if now it costs more to get to that destination, you have to rent another car, it's more expensive, whatever, the prices went up, you'll be able to say, I'll pay masha nene because I had an offer from you, but you can't hold me to that bargain when you were chaser from it. Masha nene is actually not discussed before Yashir, but l'chayra, just like if I took your donkey and I used it shaloi bershus. So if I'm a goslin pays kashas akzela. But if I didn't go b'toyer's gazla, I went with the intention of paying you for the benefit, and it was oymid liskar, the halacha is, I have to pay you for the benefits. I don't pay you the original amount because that's batel, because you didn't do your part of the deal. But what I was nana from, that l'chayr I should have to pay, putting aside even the absence of any agreement. So that's why mash nana l'chayr you should have to pay. But to hold him to the deal, since the masker is not honoring the deal, he cannot hold the seicher to the deal. So this is, again, three-way machlokes. Many poskim say you can say kimli, and therefore in such a case, if you rent the car by stam, you cannot and it dies on the way, you cannot force him to replace it, but you will be able to withhold the rent that's due if he does not replace it. Unless if there's masha nana, you will probably have to pay him simply because you're a nana from it. Nothing to do with the actual schiros. But we're talking about withholding the rent from the time that you went. The time that you didn't go, you certainly have no chiyuv to. So this leads us to the last case, the last of these cases that we'll have to deal with. The Gemara has the following situation. Okay, we're not going to be able to go through all of the pratim, but we'll at least get the general clout. Somebody had wine that he needed transported. So he found someone who had a ship, and he hired him to transport the wine from one city to the next. They load the ship, all is well, the ship set sail, and halfway to its destination, the ship sank. What do we do now? On one hand, the fellow who had the wine said, listen, I didn't hire you to bring the wine from port to the bottom of the Atlantic. I hire you to get it from point A to point B. If you didn't get to point B, then I don't have to pay. On the other hand, the person who had the ship says, listen, it's no one, not a, what happened was an oinus. I did as much as I could do. Your wine is now gone. There's nothing here for me to transport. There's nothing else that I can do. Your wine's also at the bottom of the Atlantic. Since I did my part of the bargain, I want to get paid either at least for the part of the trip that I took you until there was an oinus, or according to some places, perhaps for the whole thing. Because I set out, your wine is gone, you don't have wine that needs to be transported anymore. The deal was you're going to pay me. It's not my, the oinus that happened is not my fault. Well, hold on, just setting up. Let's go through it. How do you deal with this situation? What's unique about this case is we've discussed until now, you rented a car, the car died. So you're here, the car isn't. So you go back to the owner and say, listen, I paid you to get me there. Your car is not getting me there. I want a refund. I don't want to pay. There are other cases in the inverted case, where a person rents a house and the tenant dies. So the question is, can you bill the Yershim? Listen, your father rented it. You know, a rental's a rental. You're stuck. You can't back out. What's unique here is both the ship and the wine are gone. The person rents a car. He's in an accident. He's dead. So the car's not here and the person's not here. How do you deal with this situation? Do you have to pay in full? Do you pay half? What's the law? So the Gemara says, breaks this down into four separate cases. The first case is the fellow says he had wine to transport. He comes, the owner, he says, I want to rent this ship. The owner has one ship, or he specifies, I like this ship, it's fast, it's sturdy, I'm renting this ship, I have cargo, I'll bring my cargo tomorrow. So the rental was on Svina Zoo, it was on a specific boat. The cargo was not specified. He said, I have 100 boxes, weighs this, this is the weight, and I'll bring it to the ship tomorrow. In that case, if the ship sinks in the middle, we have an unusual situation. The person who owns the wine tells the fellow who owns the ship, listen, I had the right to bring any cargo that I wanted. So I loaded up the ship with 100 crates of cream red Concord, and we went. Now that the ship sank, I didn't tell you it's this cargo. I can bring other cargo and say, I want you to finish your job with different cargo. You, on the other hand, are stuck. Because I rented this boat. If this boat sank, you can't come along and say, I'll replace it with another boat. Our deal was on Svina Zoo. It was on a specific thing. I rent a house, and the house falls down by Isaiah. You can't switch it for another house. I wanted this house. So in this case, the Baal HaSvina, the person who owns the ship, can't fulfill his part of the bargain because this ship is gone and you can't replace it with a different one. Mitzad Sheni, the Baal HaYayin, still has the ability to bring another load. He has plenty of wine in his warehouse. He can say Haka Imna. I'm still ready to honor the terms of the deal. So he tells the person who owns the ship, since you're backing out, not me, I can fulfill the terms, you cannot. The halacha is, he doesn't have to pay a penny. And even if he paid the ship owner, he prepaid for the ship, he can demand a refund. Because the ship owner is the one that's backing out. He is the one that cannot fulfill the terms of the deal. Mitzad Sheni, in contrast, what if it's the inverted case? You have a shipping company. The shipping company has 10 different ships. And they didn't talk about this particular ship. A fellow comes along and says, I have these 100 barrels I need transported. And the ship owner says, fine, these barrels, this is the amount I want, I'll get them to the other place. And the ship owner loads it onto a particular ship, it sets sail, and it sinks halfway. That's the opposite case. There, the ship owner can say,